members of and friends of Gates Presbyterian Church, good afternoon. I bring you greetings from the Genesee Valley Presbytery on behalf of the Reverend Amy Fowler, the Presbytery leader, and all other officers of the Presbytery. I am Hezzy Simmons, the moderator, and I am deeply honored to greet you today for this august occasion, the ordination to the ministry of Word and Sacrament of Omar Anthony Roshan. Omar is a native of Rochester and a recent graduate of the Harvard Divinity School. Like me, he is a cradle Presbyterian and has been under the care of Gates Presbyterian Church, where he was raised. In 2010, Omar was ordained and installed as a ruling elder at St. Philip Presbyterian Church in Houston, Texas. It was during that time Omar discerned the call to ordain ministry. Let me quote Omar. "I seek ministry in a congregation which has reverence for its traditions, but also looks to expand its ministry in both word and action. I feel called to a church where open minds to think and open hearts to love lead to open hands to serve. A congregation which takes seriously the command to love our neighbors as ourselves." End of quote. Well said, Omar. In the same way, I will read Galatians 3:27. "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is one body and one spirit. Just as we were called to the one hope of our calling. In his baptism, Omar was clothed with Christ and is now called by God through the voice of the church to enter upon ministry of word and sacrament. We remember with joy our common calling to serve Christ, and we celebrate God's particular call to our brother Omar."
Stand, if you're able, for the call to worship. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
We are walking in the light of God.
There is one God, Father God, and Holy Spirit.
For this is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Children, and they want what is best for them. But sometimes, as we all know, kids let their parents down. They do things they shouldn't do. Their parents are burdened by it. But when the kids come back to mom and dad and say, "I'm really sorry," that makes all the difference in the world, right? And what do the parents do? "I love you. You are forgiven." That's what the service of confession is like as we gather as God's people. God is our loving parent. And we do things. Sometimes we let God down. And then as God's people, we come in humility and we offer confession. So let us join together now in the prayer of confession as printed in the bulletin, and we will pray this prayer together. Let us pray.
Grace-filled God, we confess that we are too concerned with our own needs and wants. Our thoughts and actions are too often inwardly focused. We are too quick to speak and too slow to listen. We seek forgiveness, yet are unwilling to forgive. We want to be loved, yet withhold our love from others. We seek to improve our own lives and the lives of those we know, while neglecting those we do not know, too often forgetting how we are connected with others. We ask for patience, O God. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage. Transform us with compassion that we may be your peacemakers. Strengthen us in love that we may be good to one another. Surround us with your kindness that we may befriend all we meet. Forgive us, God. Grant that as we continue our journey with you, we may pause along the way. Pause to listen to voices. Pause to speak in a spirit of unity and justice. Pause to embody your love in all that we do. Guide us, O God, that we may know your will and your way.
Forgiveness. Just take a look at the table over there. The sacrament of the resurrection is our testimony to our forgiveness. In Christ, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. The peace of God be with you. Please share and pass the peace to one another nearby.
Let us pray. Overwhelm us with your Spirit, O God, that the words we hear will speak to our hearts as your word, made known to us in Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
A reading from the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Hear now the word of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west, shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The word of the Lord.
Please join us in reading Psalm 139 responsively. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
You hem me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me.
Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?
If I take the wings of morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea,
if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night,
for it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My life, my God, how may I
Reading from the Gospel of John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the words that you hear are not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. The word of the Lord.
Just sure. It's a universal experience. It just must be. Haven't we all at least once sat around a table filled with a lovingly prepared holiday meal in the midst of cousins bantering and aunts reminiscing? Someone drops a piece of startling news into the conversation. Immediately, the mood changes, the anxiety rises, and the questions begin. words of scripture that Leander just read arose from just this kind of scenario. Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover feast, and it's actually Jesus who drops the surprise. Friends, I'll be leaving you, and you can't come with me. What? Where are you going? Why can't I go? Simon Peter asked. All of the disciples, your minds must have just been spinning. This isn't what they signed up for. And Jesus responds, I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. This worship service this afternoon is all about that divine promise. That divine promise of Jesus. Give to us the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that unites us through the sacraments, calls us to serve, teaches us how to do so, while always reminding us that God is present. The sacred gift, this is the same sacred gift of divine power that will flow through our hands to Omar this afternoon, hand on hand, hand in hand, calling us to be God's loving people, working for justice, seeking peace. Omar, as you've journeyed through the rigorous Presbyterian ordination process, I've watched you rely upon this gift of the Holy Spirit. Every step of the way, you have asked, what is God calling me to do? You have trusted God to lead you from teaching to seminary to church work to ordination. You have depended on God to sustain you while you ask hard questions and found new directions. With integrity, with courage, you've made some pretty faithful decisions. It's been a joy. It's been a joy and an honor to be part of your journey. I loved our visits, our conversations, our emails, and best of all, seeing you as a worship leader at St. Philip's. But honestly, I confess, I knew a long time ago that you were a faith-filled, good decision-maker. Actually, I learned that when Omar was 12. Are you nervous? You should be. Some of the rest of you should be, too, that I see out there. Omar was part of an awesome group of middle schoolers spending the weekend at Camp Asbury in the Manor House. Now, the Manor House now, sadly, has been torn down. But back in those days, it was beloved for its crooked floors and endless places to jump, run, and hide. Set up, just beg for shenanigans. Saturday night, worship was over, the prayer circle completed, snacks gobbled up by all. Time for lights out. The visors began the traditional middle school bedtime chant. Boys in this room, girls in this room, good night. Of course, not one single advisor thought it was that simple. We knew it would be only a matter of time before the boys would try to scare the girls and there would be a frenzied flow of traffic between the two rooms. And of course, that's exactly what happened. Once again, advisors repeated the chant. Boys in this room, girls in this room, good night. And as I remember it, that happened multiple times. Until finally, there was this long period of silence. Now, less savvy advisors might mistake that silence for sleeping middle schoolers. But no, not this group of very experienced adults. They quietly found a dark corner in the hall maze and waited. And waited. And waited. It seemed like hours. But the waiting paid off. For eventually, Omar, the same Omar that we're ordaining today to the ministry of Word and Sacrament, Omar Pierce. Now understand, in the middle school world, the reason you sneak into the girls' room in the middle of the night is to scare the girls into high-volume drama. The crazier the mayhem, the more successful you've been. So Omar begins to execute his plan for mayhem. Very quietly, he tiptoes toward the girls. And to be fair, he wasn't a solo player in this devious plan. His buddies were back in the room, non-verbally cheering him to victory. So picture this. Girls sleeping. Advisors crying. Boys cheering. Omar sneaky. And not a sound can be heard in the darkness. Omar puts his hand on the girls, on the handle of the girls' room. He had visions. Visions of loud girls screaming. Visions of mayhem. And shout in unison, Omar, what are you doing? Such a moment. Omar, with his eyes wide open, jumps straight up. I thought he was going to hit the ceiling, and he was short then. Straight up. He literally spun around in midair. And next, he just ran down the hall. I have no idea where he went. But I do know that the manor house was quiet for the
good, faithful decision.
The next morning, Omar and his gang of middle school boys humbly, very humbly, apologized. But the story has become advisor folklore. Remember the night Omar spun in midair? I think we all know that feeling of spinning in the midst of the unexpected. Certainly the disciples did. And Omar, I love the scriptures you picked for this service. They remind us from where our help comes in those unsettling days of spinning. For in the Joshua story, we hear God telling Joshua, be strong, be courageous, do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we read the psalmist confident declare, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, there your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. And we hear in the gospel lesson, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let our hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Truly, the biblical story is full of God reassuring God's children. But there's another astute theologian whose work I would like to share with you. Omar, I'm quoting from your statement of faith. No. Not the beautifully inspiring one that you wrote for the ordination process, but the one you wrote as a 14-year-old confirmand. Yes, I kept it. And yes, it's inspiring too. I quote 14-year-old Omar. I believe that my God is a spirit greater than man. He watches over, protects me, and guides me through my life. I go to church because of God and Jesus and the love I have for them. Every week I could sleep until 12 o'clock. But I think I owe so much to God and all the good things that he has done for me. I need to come and hear God's word and share my faith with my fellow man. That's 14-year-old Omar. Indeed, Omar, as a minister of word and sacrament, you will be doing just that in profound, sometimes fear-provoking ways. Omar's theology is much more sophisticated now. But his simple middle school words are the core of Jesus' promised gift, the Holy Spirit. For in times of self-doubt, in times of fear, in times of just plain uncertainty, when our own life or the lives of those around us, or the lives of those in the world beyond us, seem to be spinning out of control, Jesus' words echo as our foundation on which we can regain our balance and move forward. Peace I give. My peace
good news for those startled disciples. And it's good news for all of us as well. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. This is the time that we will ordain the law. Once this part of the program is done, you will see the we are called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism, and marked as Christ is owned by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling, to be disciples and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the Church, some are called to particular service as ministers of word and sacrament, as elders, and as deacons. Recognizing the importance of each office, the Church ordains in order to assure fulfillment of the primary responsibilities of preaching the word and administering the sacraments. Ordering the governance of the Church and providing for ministries of care and compassion in the word. Representing one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the Presbytery of Genesee Valley, by means of this commission, now ordains Omar to the ministry of word and sacrament.
Three years ago, a young couple stood here with their baby, baptized Omar Anthony Rochon. So as we're part of this journey today, we have another opportunity for Omar to renew his baptism as he starts on this exciting journey in pastoral ministry. And so at this time, let us pray together. Eternal and gracious God, we give you thanks. In countless ways you've revealed yourself in ages past and have blessed us with signs of your grace. We praise you that through the waters of the sea you led your people Israel out of bondage and into the freedom in the land of your promise. We praise you for sending Jesus your Son, who for us was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and was anointed as Christ by your Holy Spirit. Through the baptism of his death and resurrection, you set us free from the bondage of sin and death and give us cleansing and rebirth. We praise you for your Holy Spirit, who teaches us to live out our lives in truth, filling us with a variety of gifts, that we may proclaim the gospel to all the nations and serve you as a royal priesthood. Rejoice that you claimed us in our baptism, and that by your grace we are born anew. By your Holy Spirit, renew us, that we may be empowered to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ, whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forever. Amen. Omar, remember your baptism and be thankful. And now, Omar, as a child of the covenant, I sign you with a cross that you remember your baptism and be
trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the Church. And through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ and the Church universal? And God's word to you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith, as expressed in the confession of our church, as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by these confessions as you lead the people of God?
I do, and I will.
Will you be a minister of word and sacrament in obedience to Jesus Christ, under the authority of Scripture, and be continually guided by our confession?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit?
I will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will.
Will you be a faithful teaching elder, proclaiming the good news in word and sacrament, teaching faith and caring for people? Will you be active in government and discipline, serving in the council of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will.
Now declare you a newly ordained minister.
I want to invite all elders, ruling and teaching elders, to join Omar, to lay your hands upon him, so that your hands may become a vehicle for the sacred spirit of God. Almighty God, in every age you have chosen servants to speak your word and lead your people. We thank you for Omar, who you have called to serve you as minister of word and sacrament. Bestow upon him the gifts that he will need for his work. Fill him with your spirit so that he may be your faithful disciple as long as he shall live, serving you as he was taught by your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Omar, you are now a minister of word and sacrament in the Church of Jesus Christ. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ.
Amen.
You are now welcome all the our new Reverend Omar. Please feel free.
CPM, the Committee of Preparation for Ministry. When Omar began his journey into ministry with the CPM, Reverend Mike Fry was his liaison, and he would have been here today if he could have. We talked earlier this week. When Mike left our committee, I was blessed and privileged to take over Mike's responsibility and mentorship. Omar, from the moment you came to us at the CPM meetings, it was evident to all of us on the committee that you have been called by God to ministry. That is what we believe to be true, isn't it? That a person feels the call of God on their heart and life, but then the call must also be recognized by the people of God. It was your gentle heart, your sincere faith, your awareness of God's leading, along with your intellect, your commitment to God's church, and your deep desire to serve, they all won us over. And after time of preparation, study, service with children, youth, and elderly, along with preaching and exams, here you are. Here we all are. You are fully prepared and equipped to accept your call to serve the PCUSA and our God in the congregation in Houston, Texas, and I am honored to participate in this celebration and worship for your ordination. You have asked me to charge you as a newly ordained. This would be a huge task if you were naive about the workings of the church or were inexperienced in the world, but you are neither. You are a child of God. Scripture reading and prayer have been part of your life. Your deep intellect inspires you to question, to think outside the box, and to better understand God's word and purpose. Curiosity and inquiry are crucial to being open to wonder and awe and new possibilities, and to those wonders found in God's word, too. Those are qualities that are part of what make you so special and who bring them to ministry.
Your new congregation is expecting much of you. You will be teacher, guide, counselor, confidant, and preacher. All of these and many more will be your responsibilities, and some wholly unknown to you right now as you stand at the threshold of ministry. So my first charge to you is, and it's interesting, as you read the scriptures today, there's a reflection of all of them here. My first charge to you is to live close to the Lord. Do all you can to keep God first place in your life. In order to be God's servant, you must be steeped in God's word. You, like me, love the scriptures. And Eugene Peterson tells us to eat the book. Be in conversation with the writers. Pray for guidance. Listen intently and chew slowly. This is essential for ministry in the Church of Jesus Christ. The busier we become, the more we need to take time apart in quiet reflection and prayer. Ministry calls us to a daunting task of leading God's people. There is no way we can do it alone. If you are open, God's Spirit will lead you to lead them. That same Holy Spirit that we heard earlier promises to never let you go. Lean on that promise and be moist to the imprint of God's fingers, as Irenaeus says. And bear witness to Christ's love, hospitality, and grace. And this is only possible if we walk close to the Lord. The one who calls you is as close as your breath, which means that love and blessing surround you. Take time every day to lean on the loving, grace-filled, forgiving, and compassionate God who knows our weaknesses and strengths and wants and desires that we flourish. Even though the church is the community built on the love of Jesus Christ, there are times when we feel lonely and friendless. You are already blessed with colleagues that have supported you throughout your preparation and training, and I thank God with you for those gifts. Rejoice in help offered to you by the congregation, too. So my second charge to you is to surround yourself with those in your care and love them. Think about what it means to care for them, not just when they're hurting. Explore what their gifts may be, and then find places for them to use their gifts as offerings to God. People need to know that they have gifts too. And they have callings to serve God in the church and outside its walls. So help them to discover how they can better live into the gifts God has given them. They will grow in their faith as a result, and in their ownership as part of God's church and kingdom. And their gifts will enrich your ministry and the life of the church. You should never leave them alone. My third charge to you is to be courageous, which we heard in the Joshua passage today. Preach truth to power through words and deeds. It is a difficult time to be the church today. I know pastors have gathered together on how to preach in this time. So many things in our culture stand contrary to God's calling and purpose. It takes boldness to speak truth and preach the liberating good news of the gospel. Jesus' ministry was focused in turning the world right side up again. He was the voice for the voiceless. He embraced the outcasts. He challenged the status quo. In these days, that can come at a cost. So pray diligently for God's Spirit to empower you. Work together with others for the strength and wisdom of discernment and insight, which are the causes of. And in the face of all of this, in humility, serve the Lord with hands. We are called to be prophets, Omar, and may God strengthen us all to do that. And that leads me to my fourth and final charge for you. Take care of Omar. The work of the church can be all-consuming if we let it, and people will always expect more. There are wonderful days serving God in the church, and there are hard days. Determine your boundaries. Again, I take advice from Eugene Peterson, now from his book, Earth and Altar. Sabbath keeping is not a luxury. It is part of the rhythm God set into motion in creation. Even God rested. We can't feed others unless we too are fed and well rested. So decide when your Sabbath keeping day will be each week, and then guard it ferociously. Take full advantage of days off, study leave, and vacations, and do the things you love to do so that you will be replenished and renewed. Do things that feed your spirit and your talents and your heart and your body. And stay connected with those who know you and can support you outside of the church where you serve. I hope that we stay connected and continue to pray for one another and see each other from time to time. And there are many others here in this place who will be praying for you and encouraging you as well. And all these things will make you a better leader, a better preacher, teacher, friend, and person, a better servant of God. And finally, remember that we are only workers in God's kingdom. I'm going to end with words by Archbishop Oscar Romero, who served in San Salvador. He spoke out against poverty, social injustice, assassinations, and torture, and he paid the price with his life. He was murdered for it on March 24, 1980. But these are his words that were shared with me when I finished CPM in New York City, and I have kept them close to my heart. And this is for everybody. It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete. Which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said, no sermon either, although sometimes we try. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. But this is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects beyond our capacity. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables to do something and to do it well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the results. But that's the difference between the master builder and the worker. We're workers. Not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. And so, Omar, with words from Paul, from Philippians 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, and all of our prayer, I would guess, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and praise.
It is my great pleasure and honor to be able to present you with this gift on behalf of the session and the members of Gates Presbyterian Church.
But I'm going to say a few words first. You didn't think you were going to get away that lucky, did you? Omar, I think it was about, you were about 15 years old, I think, maybe, when I first started calling you Reverend Omar. After hearing your presentation about your experiences on your first senior high work project, your words, your thoughts, and spirituality have always been wiser than your years. And thinking about today, I fell back on the words of Frederick Buechner, and this seemed appropriate for today. In the entire history of the universe, let alone in your own life, there has never been another day just like today. And there never will be another one like it, ever again. Today is a point to which all of your yesterdays have been leading you since the hour of your birth. And it is a point from which all of your tomorrows will take you till the hour of your death. If you are aware of how precious today is, you could hardly live through it. Unless you are aware of how precious it is, you can hardly be said to be living at all. And today is a precious day. And I'm sure that you are certainly aware of that. And so it is with a glad heart, full of love and pride, that I present to you this beautiful stole. And as I place it around your neck and on your shoulders, I'm also placing on your shoulders a lot of responsibility. Responsibility to love everyone. Responsibility to teach God's word. Responsibility to be a friend and a mentor to those who have no one else. And to carry to others that light of God that you have always carried. Glad to be able to officially call you Reverend Omar.
I'm John Worcester. I bring greetings from all the saints, St. Philip Presbyterian Church in Houston, Texas, and also from the Presbytery of New Covenant, which next Sunday will install Omar as associate pastor at St. Philip on the day of Pentecost. But on this day, this glad and happy occasion, I invite you to join me in praying for the world God has made, for the church that God sustains, and for the people, all the people, who God loves without condition. Let us pray. God of wonder, God of glory, draw near to us in this place. You have been our help in ages past, and you are our hope for all the days to come. Hear us as we pray. Hear us and hold us. We pray for those places in our world where war prevails, conflicts endure, and hatred persists. We pray for those who have suffered this week, the Manchester bombing and the bus attack in Egypt, and in so many other places. Bring peace on earth and goodwill among all people. We pray for your church, gathered across the globe. We pray for the Presbyterian Church USA, and for the congregations at Gates and St. Philip. We pray for our collective witness to the gospel and our efforts to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind us together in your spirit, unified as one body with many different parts, seeking to use well the gifts you have given. We pray for the sick and the sorrowful, for the hurting and the hopeful. We pray for those who are carrying heavy burdens. Comfort and soothe, heal and restore. On this day,
when we celebrate with Omar, help us all to consider the call you have placed on each of our lives. A call to love and serve. A call to worship you in spirit and in truth. A call to follow Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. Hear our prayers, O God. Hear us and hold us for the sake of Jesus, who is the head of the church and the Lord of our lives, who is the one who taught us to pray in this way, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The offering today supports the presbytery in its work and aid to candidates for ministry. With thankful hearts, let us bring our gifts to God.
Thank you. Friends, this is a joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west and north and south to sit at the table the Lord has prepared. This is not the table of Gates Presbyterian Church. This is not the table of the Presbyterian Church USA. This is the table of Jesus Christ. And our Lord calls all who hunger and thirst for righteousness to join around at this table. For we all shall be filled. So come, all of you to this table. All of you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. Through the words of the prophets, you promised your people the Redeemer and gave hope for the day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We rejoice that in Jesus Christ, your Son, the Savior has come, and that he will come again in power and glory to make all things new. You rejoice with the choir of angels, lifting our voices in joyful praise. Give you thanks, O God, for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. And living with you, he prays for us. Blessed are you, O God, for you created the heavens and earth and all that dwell in it. You, the source of life and light. You, the source of love. You who gave your people a covenant and set them free from bondage. You who gave voice to the prophets and set order with judges and kings. You who have been with your people through the history of time. Blessed are you, Christ. You are our Savior and Redeemer. You lead us and guide us, for you are the Word made flesh. As we share in your light, you who came into the world through humble beginnings, grant that all may know your comfort, that all may know your companionship, that all may know your peace. Holy Redeemer, you came to save and to revolutionize, turning over powers and becoming the new authority. You who were once a refugee and once an enemy, yet you sought the outcasts and sat with sinners, welcoming all to be with you and follow you. Grant that we may welcome everyone as you have, using your life and ministry of unconditional love as our guide, speaking up for injustice, seeking resolution, and working for reconciliation. Gracious God, you provide the gifts of this table, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, through which we taste and see your goodness. For in you we hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you promise that through you we shall be filled. Blessed are you, Holy Spirit, for you dwell within this holy meal and draw us near. You renew us and lift us up. You open our eyes and animate our senses. You make us whole. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Holy Spirit, grant that these gifts may sustain us in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, uniting us with our sisters and brothers in the Holy Family, reminding us who we are and whose we are, beloved children of God. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance." In the same way, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "This is the cup. This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance." And so every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, all the people of God. So come, all is well. Let us pray. Gracious God, for your many gifts, we give you thanks. Grant that all which sustains us and gives us life may be shared generously with all you have created in your image. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us go forth from this place and out into the world in peace, strengthened by what we have done here this day. Let us go forth to serve and love God and neighbor, everyone. Let us go forth, seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly. And may the love of God, the companionship of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day. Evermore. Amen.